It's been such a privilege for us today to have Vladimir and Rosa Silvera with us, and we appreciate their faithfulness. They have been a faithful couple serving the Lord with their children there in Brazil, and we're just pleased to have them with us tonight again. So, Brother Vladimir, would you come?
Thank you, Pastor. Once again.
Good evening. So good to be here once again, and I would like to thank you all. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church, for all your kindness. We live by faith, and we just enjoy God's grace, and we come to Grace Bible. We find more of God's grace, and that's wonderful. Praise the Lord that we can team up and we can work and serve our Lord. Appreciate the services, the good singing, the testimonies, this split-up prayer time. That's wonderful. We've had it different ways in Brazil, and we might adopt that, you know, before our services, and that's a good way for us to relate more, and that's what we're here for. We're here to worship the Lord and seek His face. We depend on Him, and the list was rather long tonight, and I know there are a lot more in our hearts that haven't been shared. And praise the Lord, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and knowing that God is there on the other end, just waiting for us to ask and believe in Him. Thank you so much for all that you're doing for us. Thank you for the good time we had with lunch this afternoon. And it's been a real joy. So if you can, would you please stand and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 says the Acts of the Apostles, but I believe it's actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, amen? And He's still using people to do His work. Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commended them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and the cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Amen. Maranatha. We're waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You help us as we look into Your Word tonight. Help us to understand a little more of what You have for us. Speak to hearts in a way that only You can deal. I pray that You change lives. May we leave this place with a renewed desire to serve You the best we can in the matter of missions. I pray and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So Jesus Christ is the eternal God who took the form of a servant. And He was made in the likeness of man who was born of Mary. We know all about His story, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And He lived on earth 3.5 years, setting the example for us to follow. And then He was crucified, and after His crucifixion, He was buried, and on the third day, as verse 3 says, He rose again. The hope of glory, Jesus Christ. He rose again, because He's the very God. He came to save the lost. So after that, we see here in this passage that He was on earth for 40 days, and He passed on instructions to His disciples. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a born-again believer here this evening, those instructions are for you as well, for you and me. Jesus, just before He ascended back into heaven, He made this declaration, and I like to read the letter version because you can see where Jesus is speaking. It stands out, you know. He made this declaration we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'll read it again. But she shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and He shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So as we look at this declaration of Jesus, we see that it includes three elements of missions. First, we see the power of missions. And then we see the proclaimers of missions. And also you see the peoples of missions, the mission field. So tonight I would like to speak about the first element. And it's mentioned here before because it's crucial. Because without this, we can't do anything for the Lord. And I'm speaking about the power of missions. The power of missions. I entitled this message, The Power of Missions. And it says, verse 8, but she shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, the power of missions is in the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God. It's not from within us. We don't have the power to do the ministry here, anywhere in the world for the Lord. The power must come from Him. We need to draw our strength from Him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So I need that power if I'm going to do, I need the power from God if I'm going to do God's work, God's way. Remember Paul speaking to the Romans, he said, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Americans and then to the Brazilians and to all nations of this world. So we need power, the power of God to do missions. Now the word translated power here is that Greek word dunamis. You've heard this so many times, from which we get our word dynamite or dynamo, other things that have the idea of explosion and power and force. And it's a good illustration. The Lord uses that word to try to teach us the importance of relying on Him for this. And this word has to do with ability or force. Sometimes it was used when it comes to forces, use the force of riches. You know, if you have like a lot of money, an institution or an individual has a lot of money, you have a lot of purchasing power. That's we use that word, purchasing power. We use it in Brazil as well. So you think of somebody like President Trump, for example, who's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of power in as far as money is concerned. So that word was used for riches in that regard. So a lot of money, a lot of power. That same word was used for the military. And when you think of the army, and again, we hear Mr. Trump say, we have the greatest army in the 21st century. And praise the Lord for the army in the America. It's a very powerful army. When we think of all the capability and all the equipment, all the gear and all the weapons, and you certainly can see the power there. So that same word was used for the power, not only of riches, but the power of armies. So we understand that. But in the biblical context, and as we see it here, dunamis refers to the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit of God, the power that changes lives, the power that can save a repentant soul, the power that can give eternal life that no money can buy. No army can conquer. This power is the power that the Lord is speaking about here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The power that changes lives. In my other video that I had on last furlough, I had some of the people, a couple of people there that I could not add on this one here now, but I remember one lady that she was a voodoo leader in our community there. And somebody said, well, she wants you to go visit her. And so my wife and I used the Facebook backup plan. Pray for us. We're going straight into this lady's house. And she's got all her idols. And she literally had a shrine in her living room. And we went in there to see her. And she wanted to hear about the gospel. In fact, her daughter told us to go there. So Rose and I went there. We had a lot of people praying for us. And as we explained the gospel, right in front before those idols, she trusted the Lord as her Savior. And she began to attend the church. And then there was another time, I think of the power of God, when I think of this other lady that she came to our church, and she had been attending the services. She had been hearing the gospel being preached many times. And she was like in the third or fourth row on this side of church. And I remember when I preached this message, by God's grace, the Holy Spirit got a conviction of her heart. And she got saved. She was a Buddhist leader. She had 500 men in her hands, in her power. She had trained in Japan. She had all kinds of training. She reached this higher level. But she broke into tears when she finally realized that she needed Christ. Now that's the power, that we cannot go there and just convince somebody. Now, this is what you need to do. Follow these rules, and you'll be okay. I remember one chief of police in our church, this lady, before she got saved, she was a very mean person in the police. She would kick those bad guys with her high heels and everything. Everybody was afraid of her. She was the wife of the man that spoke in Portuguese this morning, Joel and Honorata. Anyway, it's a long story. But after she got saved, she took every opportunity to witness to the criminals. Sometimes she would even have pastors there, called pastors, you know. And so I said, you need to get saved. She would kind of preach at them, you know. And but then I remember one time this couple went there. They had some misagreement and something serious had happened. And he was afraid, you know. Oh, no, it's her. She's on call tonight. Oh, no. You know, they were all afraid. The couple got there, he said, usually when someone does this to his wife, this is what happens. I lock the man up and send the woman home. But this time I'm sending both of you to Pastor Silvera there in Maranatha Baptist Church, and he's going to tell you more about Jesus. Long story short, the couple got saved. And they began serving the Lord. I was chatting with him before I came to church today, serving the Lord. And I asked him, can you go there to the other church and encourage our new ministry? Talk to pastor. Pastor said that they can help, of course. But just go there. And he said, well, pastor's just coming back from vacation, and I have all the responsibility of opening up the services and everything, so I can't do that. That just thrills my heart to see how the Lord changes lives. And it's not our power. It's not the chief of police's power. It's not my power. They came, and by the way, I told him we had just had a couple's, like a Valentine's type of thing. And I said, after I heard them, I said, obviously you're having some marital problems, you know. But I can give you a list. I literally had a list of 100 ways a man should treat his wife and a wife should treat her husband. I said, I can give you that list. You can go step by step. Your marriage is going to change a lot. But that's like giving a Tylenol for a headache. It will come back. I remember I used that very illustration. I can give you that and you're going to feel good one night, but the next day it's not going to happen. What you need is Christ. He will change you from inside out. And that's part of what happened that morning. So praise the Lord for the power of the Lord. The power that transforms lives. The power. So we're going to look at what does the Bible teach us about the dunamis of the gospel. And first of all, let's take a look at the power of the gospel in the past. The power of the gospel in the past. Let's see a couple some examples of the power of God in the New Testament. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4, if you would. Luke chapter 4. And of course, we're going to begin with the greatest example of all, Jesus' example. Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. There it is. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. And notice what He did in the power of the Spirit. First of all, He taught in their synagogues. And then if you go down to verse 18, He evangelized. Look, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, euangelizo, to evangelize the poor, and on and on. So Jesus taught in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. He evangelized in the power of the Spirit, but He also healed in the power of the Spirit. Here in verse 18, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus Christ taught, He healed, and He performed other miracles, but His main mission, and He did all that in the power of the Spirit, but His main mission was to preach and evangelize. You don't have to turn there, but Mark chapter 1, verse 38 says, and He said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. So we see that Jesus Christ did all these things in the power of the Spirit. If He needed that, how much more do we need to realize that there's nothing we can do that will be of lasting results unless we do it through the power of the Spirit of God. It's very easy. Well, we got the training, we got the experience, we know the language, we know the culture and all that. It's very easy sometimes to say, well, we got it made, you know, if you're not careful. That's not how it works. And it's just a blessing to know that we can count in the power of God in our lives through the Spirit. So the first example is Jesus Christ, and then we have the apostles. You don't have to turn there for sake of time. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, and with great dunamis, or great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You see, the apostles' greatest concern was to witness with great power that unique historical fact, the only true God raised from the dead and who lives forevermore. And they could not but speak the things which they had heard, seen and heard. They saw Christ and they couldn't help but to do it, to proclaim. And they did that in the power of the Spirit. Not on their own. Oh, we've had experience that other people haven't had. They did it in the power of the Spirit. We have Stephen, another example of the first Christian martyred. Acts chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You know, he was controlled by the Spirit. It says there in verse 10, the Spirit of God, and that was very evident. We know that he was persecuted, arrested, and made his own defense. And by the way, what a defense in chapter 7. A 52-verse-long sermon, actually, he preached before he went to be with the Lord. And I like to say that he began speaking in that chapter of the God of glory, was stoned to death and received up in heaven by the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. And he did all that in the power of the Spirit. One more example is Peter, the apostle to the Jews, 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the dunamis, or the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Now here we have another man who saw Christ Himself. He saw the power being done before His eyes. When you do missions, you are declaring the pure truth of the power of God and the coming of Jesus Christ. And these people had seen it, what He has done with their own eyes. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that we're in that crowd. We haven't seen it. Christ physically, but we have seen what He has done in our lives. We have seen the answers to prayer. We have seen people that have been changed by the power of the Spirit, like many others that I could have mentioned here tonight, and many others that I'm sure you have experienced, you have led to the Lord, and it's just a blessing. Let us proclaim then the truth of God in the power of the Spirit. And one more example of the past, and then we'll move on. The apostles to the Gentiles, Paul. He says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power," or in dunamis, "and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." So when we preach, when we evangelize, when we do missions, we have at our disposal the power of God. And that's what we need, because that's what's going to change lives. Our main concern, yes, is to make people feel comfortable. You saw in our video, there's one man who was speaking in Portuguese. "Oh, I feel so comfortable here. There doesn't seem to be a lot of Bible in there." He's a new Christian. He feels comfortable as we teach the Bible and preach the Bible. And I was happy the way he sent me that video. Okay, I'll just add that. And I'm glad he feels comfortable, because we're preaching the Bible, we're teaching them, and he's growing in the Lord little by little. But we can't do that on our own. We can't do that with our own power. We need that through the power of the Spirit. So they are not mere words that we preach, but the powerful words of the Almighty God. So lives have been transformed by this very power. And if you're saved this morning, you are a living example of the dunamis of God. Okay, but if you're not, Jesus Christ wants to save your soul today. You know, as He has, most of us, if not all of us, we need to share that message and have a concern and compassion like we talked about this morning. Okay, so the same power from the past is present among us today. Oh, it's only happened with the apostles. No, we see that today. I'm not talking about all these other faith-healing churches big in Brazil. You know, there's one called the Universal Church of God there, of the Kingdom of God. I forget which city we were in. Oh, Tennessee, I think. It was Nashville. I was driving by Nashville, and I saw this. It was a Spanish church. A Spanish church. The name was in Spanish, but it was a Brazilian church that, by the way, this man I told you about that felt comfortable in our church, he was a minister there with them. That's why he says he finally came back to the truth of the Word of God, you know. And these people, they just, you know, there's a city by west of where we're planting the new church, Camboriú. The other one is Balneário Camboriú. Balneário means balneary, the beach area, coastal area. On the other side is Camboriú. This city has a convention of these types of churches every year. We have people that used to come to our church in the other town. In April, they couldn't leave the town. They blocked all the roads. They bus hundreds of people there. And they have these big billboards with the advertisement of what the greatest speaker is coming, what they're going to do. And people flock to hear that. And they go there. And he says, "Well, if you give me this, the Lord is going to bless you." So people literally give their belongings. Golden rings, watches, money. They give everything. And every end of conference there, I forget what they call it. But anyway, conference is a good word. They haul everything on armored trucks. You know? And it's unbelievable. What people, how they fall for these things. And you go by these churches, sometimes we'll be driving back home, Pastor, and we see the churches, they're packed. You know, people falling out of the windows, you know. And they're teaching a lie. The only good, the prosperous life is a life in Christ, a life that feeds on the Word, that meditates on the Word. That's true prosperity. And it's hard to tell them. But that's why I said it's only the power of God. You cannot convince somebody who says, well, it happened. You know, Satan does a lot of things that convince them. Oh, yeah, it happened. You know. So we need to share the true gospel today. So the same power from the past is present among us today. So second, let's take a look at the power of the gospel in the present. Now that by the faithfulness of men and women in the past, the power of the gospel has reached your soul today. You know, all of us are saved here because somebody in the past generations was faithful to pass it on. So we have this legacy that came to us. The gospel you received is the treasure of God. Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This earthen vessel there's no power in and of itself. The power is in us through the Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're only earthen vessels. We're frail vessels in the hands of the Almighty Potter. And God wants to use us. No matter where you are, and if you're a born-again believer, the Lord wants to use you. So you need to be willing. Lord, I want to be used. Give me somebody here I can talk to about. Give a gospel track and try to be a witness. The gospel you have received is the power of God. The gospel of Christ is the, Romans 1:16, is the dunamis of God. 1 Corinthians 1, the word of Christ is the dunamis of God. 2 Corinthians 4, that the excellency of the dunamis may be of God and not of us. So it's all of God. Everything is from God. The dunamis of the gospel of Jesus Christ has reached you. And the question is, are you willing to pass it on? Pass it on. I remember my dad, he was, for 45 years, he was a Catholic man, very devout man. He helped build this church, this cathedral in my hometown, Porto Alegre. And he was bragging, he was proud about it. You know, I give my money every month to build this so I can have a place in heaven. My brother got saved, make a long story short, went to the seminary, began to send him cassette tapes back then. My father heard the gospel and got saved. And but it's amazing. So he began to be a very faithful man witnessing. If it moved, he witnessed. If it was a tree, that's too late, you know. Anything. That's why I call the gospel the track attack. I learned it with him. After he worked for a company like Sears for 25 years, and after he retired, he said, I'm not going to just stay home. I'm going to drive a cab. So he was driving a cab in Porto Alegre. We're talking about places like Chicago, like New York City, very dangerous places. You know, in fact, they had this armored, I forget what they call it now. The driver was a cage, almost like a cage, a booth, I guess I wanted to say. And you were driving there, and then you would get the money with this through this slot, and it was bulletproof. That gives you an idea how dangerous it was. It hasn't changed much either. He didn't have any of that. He did that for 15 years. And every time somebody walked into that cab, he would give him a gospel tract, and he would witness to people. He led so many people to the Lord. He's in heaven now. He led so many people to the Lord because somebody gave him freely the gospel, and he would pass it on. And then he would come and preach in church, and he was all excited about all these illustrations he had during the week. And that has inspired us over the years. We still speak of his faithfulness to this day, a great legacy. And I pass it on to my kids, and that's what it's all about. We don't keep it to ourselves. We receive freely, and we give freely. So we have that power available to us today, just like the disciples. We don't go around healing people because there was a perfect mission for the 12 disciples and some of the men of the Bible, but we know who can do the healing. Now, a lot of people want the healing, or money, but they're not concerned about the condition of their soul. And so when you come to them and you tell them what it's all about, it's the most important thing is your soul, you know. And then they realize when the Holy Spirit gets a conviction of their hearts, they get saved. So that power is available. Take advantage of that power in a good way. Ask the Lord, Lord, use me. Fill me with your powers. Help me to say the things I need to say. Help me to meet people this week that I can impact with my testimony. So the same power from the past, which is present among us today, will continue on into the future. So let's take a look at the power of the gospel in the future. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The gospel of Jesus Christ will never change, has never changed, it will never change. In your future here on earth, the gospel of Christ will save many people yet before the Lord comes. He said there are many people out there, many lost sheep without Christ. You know, they're not from my fold yet. You go there. There are people there who are thirsty. The harvest is plenteous. There are people who are willing to hear. And we know the Lord does the saving. We just have to do the going and the sharing of the message. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28. So there, in our future here on earth, as long as we're here, as long as the Lord gives us breath, we will have opportunities. We will meet people, rub shoulders with people who are lost. So we need to take opportunities to share the gospel. But I close with one verse in Scripture, Revelation chapter 19, if you would, in anticipation of to the return of Christ to earth. Revelation chapter 19. You know, along with those you led to Christ, and by the way, soul winners will receive the crown of glory. That's quite a motivation for us to keep winning souls. There's joy in heaven when the soul is saved. But in anticipation to the return of Christ, we read, the dunamis of God will be proclaimed in heaven, chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and dunamis and power unto the Lord our God. So missions is the work of the Almighty God through the ages. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. If you're a born-again believer here today, experimented this power, has changed your life. So believe that God can use you as an instrument in His hand to win more souls to Christ. Now, if the power of the gospel has transformed your life, you must share the good news with those who have no hope. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you allow us to encounter people this week as we begin the week, on the first day of the week, may we realize, Lord, that we need to look for opportunities to share the gospel, that we might call somebody, write to somebody, or pray for somebody, that you would bring somebody that we've never met before. And how many times you have answered those kinds of prayers, Lord, bring somebody to me so I can share the gospel. So I pray that you continue to bless the efforts of Grace Bible Church. Continue to bless the pastors. Continue to bless the staff, the teachers, the congregation, the students. May this church and school continue to be a blessing in this community. Thank you, Lord, for their efforts in giving the gospel out through missionaries as well. May you continue to provide for them as they provide for missionaries through prayer, through financial support, by going, by being part of the ministry. So I pray, Lord, that you do a work on our lives tonight, once again, a work that only you can do. May your Spirit bring such a conviction to our hearts of the desperate need that we have to share the gospel in a world that is so confused, in a world that is headed, has always been heading to the wrong direction. So help us, Lord, to set a good example. Help us to be salt of the earth and to be, Lord, light in the dark world. Use us to your honor and glory. I pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much, Brother Silvera. We appreciate so much the delivery of the word. What a challenge for us. It's so easy to say, well, I don't know how to witness, or I don't know how to talk to people, I'm kind of shy or whatever. That's not an excuse, because the dunamis, the power of God, is what allows us to be able to do the things that we ought to do. And so what should you do? Just given your excuse? No. You should call upon the power of God to communicate His Word to those around us that are lost. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Word of God and the promise of your power. Oh Lord, we're not left here to try to come up with our own system and our own power to do your work. You've provided your power through the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, dear Lord, that we might walk with thy Holy Spirit and we might know that power as we seek to communicate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those around us who are lost. And Lord, for those who are going to the mission field, we pray for them that they might also know thy power and thy strength to carry forth the work that you would have them to do. Lord, we are without excuse, for we have the all-powerful, almighty God behind the work. And so, Father, I pray that we might seek and to know that power that you provide to your children. We ask now your blessing as we go into a new week. We pray, Father, that you would help us to take those opportunities to witness to those around us. And we also pray, Father, that we might live the gospel, that we not just talk about it, but that it would be a true fact of our life. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for what you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.